WAFU. Good morning. I'll get back with you on that. But, yeah, probably. What's up? Just ran up to Emily City to grab my trailer. Dropped it back off of my house. Gonna stop at the gas station. And then make my way on to work. You on your way in, I'm assuming? Yes, I am. Got interviews all day today, so... Monkey suit. And, that. But the good news is we had 17 applicants and 5 I actually feel like we could hire. That's like earth-shattering. That actually is pretty impressive for the, I don't want to say niche, but the specifics I'm assuming that you need. Well, ours is like an apprenticeship almost. But the guy's got, you know, the aptitude. You know, we try to figure that out through means. Interviewing is so difficult in this day and age. What you can't ask, and stuff like that. But we can determine, you know, through previous employment and things like that, that there's the aptitude. Then we have 4 years. We don't expect somebody to max out, go on call, and know things for at least 4 years. So... I think that gives us a little, but I got a couple of guys that look like they could almost hit the ground running, and 3 that could easily work their way in. So that's really good feeling. Well, I hope the interviews go well. Give me 1 second. I'm going to run out or run in. I'll be right back. NAPDS. Okay, you run, but don't run too fast. I'll be here. W8FU.
Did I hear Sean say that he got dressed up for this occasion?
Well, yeah, it's like in the winter, you dress in layers. I've got layers, monkey suit layers. So I've got the good shoes and slacks and a button-down shirt. And then... I'm bringing the coat, I'm bringing the tie, so I can monkey up or monkey down as necessary.
There you go. Might as well show them that you're large and in charge right from the get-go. Good for you. Well, I hope it goes well for you today. So, yeah, I know, that's stressful. I mean, how do you know? Just like, whatever. We do it like 3 or 4 when we do interviews, and... Even with all of that so-called level of expertise in our line of work, we only get it right about half the time. And for you, it's probably even tougher.
Well, I feel because our stuff is kind of like an apprenticeship, you know, that helps bring in the pool because we needed somebody that, you know, we realized long ago if you needed somebody with actual, you know, radio chops, the pool is just absolutely empty. And, you know, it's not shallow. It's not weak. It's just empty. There's just nobody. You know, all the guys that know this business are working, and they're making bucks. And we're not the bucks place. We're the benefits and security place. So if you're looking for bucks, which is a lot of people now, it's like, you know, they're just... They'll wing it. You know, if they got 10 jobs over the course of 10 years, that's fine. Just leapfrogging from pay raise to pay raise. That's not us. We're not in that race. I mean, we pay well, but we don't pay, you know, that well. But we have the pennies. So, you know, you got to try to find somebody the right combination. But, again, we do an apprenticeship thing, you know, kind of, sort of. We don't really expect anybody to hardcore, you know, be doing the work for at least 4 years. And so that helps. But, yeah, this time around, it was kind of interesting. We got, 5 guys, 2 knock it out of the park, 3, the third one is likely relatable, two have extremely good skills that we're interested in, you know, so, and, you know, I just, we'll see, you know, let the interviews begin.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you were talking about the money versus the benefits versus the security of the job and all that other fun stuff, you know, like our company, for example. In order to entice some of these young guys, you know, I mean, we paid pretty good. I mean, I don't think we're, like, stupid money, like, you know, going to one of the big three or something. But we do pay pretty good, and we put up with a lot of stuff. And, you know, the biggest thing they get with our company is they get freedom. You know, I mean, you're not cooped up in an office. You're not cooped up whatever. I mean, you know, here, we need you to go to Flint today, or here, we need you to go, you know, whatever, and we don't really micro them when they go do that kind of stuff. So, but, about 3-4 years back, we started offering 401ks, and I'm talking about the next generation under, you know, you pay so much, we pay so much, blah, 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 and it's just amazing, you know, they get some money in there, and they borrow against it. I mean, it's all money driven. I mean, it's like I don't know. You say a side by side is more important than a retirement fund. We had one guy. He has since left us, but he had, you know, he made it up to like 5 digits in there, and it was pretty good for a guy that was under 30. And he borrowed every penny against it, and they don't realize that. Okay, dude, you just killed all the interest and all the compounding and everything else that thing's going to make. It's like they don't realize that they're going to be our age someday. They just don't even think about it. Whereas, you know, when we were that age, we used to kind of like think about that. Okay, I'm going to be my dad's age someday, and I'm not going to be him, or I'm going to be him, or whatever the case may be. You know, this generation of younger people, they just don't think that way. WABD.
Hope I'm making it. Warren just dropped right off the network.
You are. Where are you?
All right, let's see. Is it bad?
See.
All right. Yeah, it was weird. While you, it's like Warren timed out. Just Warren. The other repeaters seem to be carrying your traffic, so I missed a great deal of that. I heard the 401ks and all that, and guys borrowing against it. Yeah, they're borrowing against their future, and that's not, you know, it's hard though. You know, when I was a young man raising a family in my 20s, I needed the money. You know, it's like future be damned. I needed the money. You know, and I mean, I don't mean for toys. I mean to make the bills. You know, and have a house and all that stuff. You know, and then later, you know when I didn't, then, you know, fine, but, yeah, it's tough, you know, and then what's tough is in that transitional period where, okay, you don't really need to touch it, you know, but you're not going to have anything, you know, you can make the bills, you can pay for everything, you got your house and all this stuff, but, you know, so that's when, okay, I touched that for toys, nah, that's where it's bad, but, ours you can't touch, so, anybody that's involved in our, It's different with government. It's like a 457 or something like that. Can't touch it. NADDF.
The floor is yours. WABD.
Morning, Wally. Yeah, I was just talking to my mother-in-law about this the other day. You know, she's like, I don't know how you guys do it. Save. And I'm like, well, I feel like we're getting to the era or the age of you're never going to own anything unless you make, you know, buku bucks because everything's just so expensive and interest rates are so high. I told her what we paid for our mortgage. She about fell out of her chair.
Yeah, but even a mortgage is an investment, at least in my eyes, you know, because eventually you're not going to need a big fancy house, all the other stuff, and, you know, and the goal is if you take care of it, well, I don't want to say investment, that's kind of a strong word, especially for a house, But, you know, at least you're going to get your money back. So, you know, let's say your house is worth X, you know, and then in 20, 30 years, you know, with inflation and everything else, your house is going to be worth XX or maybe XXX. So I think of a property or a house or something of that nature, you know, it's not a total loss. Granted, you're tying up all that money right now, okay, but, you know, down the road, when you all of a sudden you don't need a 3-4-bedroom, 2-story house, things of that nature, you get it back. So at least that's kind of the way I think. Sean, what do you think?
Well, that was the model for decades, you know, forever, post-war U.S. economy, that was the model. And that's what everybody expected, and, you know, and that's what happened. But there's some indications that that may not be the model going forward. I can't imagine how it wouldn't be. I mean, it would, you know, housing prices would have to go down. And short of a bubble burst like we had in 08 or something like that, I don't really see that happening. You know, so, yeah, you know, you know, a house is a durable, you know, tangible asset. And if you, like you said, if you take care of it, then chances are that that's money in the bank, so to speak. And, you know, now are you going to make quadruple, you know, like, you know, I see it all the time, oh, you know, people that bought their houses in the 70s and then they retired in the 2000s and, you know, their houses, you know, they bought it for $30,000, they sold it for $275,000, you know. Okay, you know, so, you know, I've seen success stories in this millennia, you know, that are equally impressive, you know. It's just, you know, houses solid money anyway you slice it up, so. But Dakota, you're buying a house, so you're doing that one.
I agree. Houses are a necessary evil, and while I think you're right, it's not really an investment, but it is at the same time. I like the term money pit because that's all I've done since I moved into this house is fork out money. But like our last house, we were in it for 5 years. We made 50% of the value in profit after we sold it. So, you know, that enabled us to get this house, and it's kind of rinse and repeat. I don't know how long we're going to stay here, but I mean, my house is nothing special, and I've got property, but it's ridiculous what these things cost, and with the interest rate on top of that, you know, you're forking out money for essentially nothing.
A4ZYQ.
Good morning, Joe. Floor is yours. WAQ.
KE4ZYQ. First of all, good morning to all on frequency. And you guys always have interesting subjects and topics. I couldn't help but want to just briefly jump in and say, talking about home ownership, people forget about condos. If you're lucky, and lucky is a key word, to get into a condo with a good association, and they do good work without trying to bilk you. I've been knock on wood. I've been lucky since I've been here in Clinton Township, and the association fee per month way is under what I would pay if I had a home and had to pay for landscaping, snow removal, water, garbage pickup, outside repairs. Since I've been here, I had my patio replaced, my sidewalk replaced, and painting on the outside every third year, and a roof repair when we had hail during a tornado. I had the insurance for the outside was in and didn't have to pay a dime. So I got a knock on wood. I lucked into something I didn't really think as much about or knew as much about until I got into it. So condo for an elderly person that can't shovel snow, cut grass, fix a lawnmower, get gas, pick it up, I got to say I was very lucky, and I say that very serious. Don't know who it goes to. I'll send it over to Sean, KE4ZYQ.
I think Wally was next, then me. Go ahead, Wally.
Yeah, but I agree with you some, Joe. Condo lifestyle, though it's not for me. I couldn't handle all the rules and the regulations and all that other stuff, but we did have a condo. My late wife was down in Georgia there for 5 years for a job, and we bought a condo down there. And, you know, it was some of the stuff they did just drove me crazy. Like, we had this big, beautiful tree in the front yard, and all of a sudden, one day, they decided to cut it down. Didn't tell us, didn't do anything. And then come Christmas time, we put a red bulb, red bulb and a green bulb in the front porch, and they wrote us up for that. So some of the things that they do, you know, they just drive you bat X crazy, you know. But on the other hand, there are some people all across all age spectrums that should have a condo. I mean, my neighbor is one of them. I mean, this guy doesn't cut his grass. This guy doesn't take care of his plants. This guy doesn't do anything, you know. And that's fine. If you're that kind of person, I do agree, it's probably cheaper in the long run, you know, to do the condo thing. Because, you know, hey, if you want to go someplace the weekend, you know, or what have you, or go play radio, or go to a ham fest, you know, you don't have to worry about cutting the grass. You don't have to worry about taking care of the yard. You don't have to worry about anything. So I agree. It's a great fit for some people. And people like me, I don't think I could handle the rules again. It just drove me nuts. So, you know, but like I said, getting wrote up for changing the color of the light bulbs at Christmas time, that was really kind of funny. Let's see. I'm not sure. Sean, go ahead. If I messed that up, pass on Damien.
No, that's correct. Yeah, so condo suits me philosophically, but, you know, I still have visions of towers and antennas and things like that, so that's out. But, boy, I get into the no maintenance, and really I should have that because I'm horrible when it comes to that. It would suit me, you know, I look at a condo like this, it's like it's the first step in assisted living. It's like the minimal amount of assisted living. All the stuff you don't want to do. But, I could definitely... The condo is what I should do. If it wasn't for the radio stuff, I think it'd be a no-brainer. But, you know, the problem with the condo, you don't ever own any land, right? You know, you own the structure. And so, you know, that's the first thing. And if you can wrap your mind around that, for me, that's troublesome, but, yeah, it is what it is. Anywho... I'll probably get in the one or something. I don't know. It's hard to say what I'm going to do, but I'm going to have to do something that doesn't require me to do the upkeep because I'm just getting, you know, I've gotten to be horrible at that. So, what are you going to do? Dakota, speaking of that, how's all that dirt project working? I haven't talked to you in a week.
Condos make sense for a lot of people. Joe, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, if you can't take care of it or don't want to take care of it, I mean, it's the way to do it. I mean, I work with younger women at work that are early 20s that are buying condos for, you know, that exact reason, right? They don't know how to maintain a lawnmower. They don't want to cut grass. They don't want to deal with any of that stuff. So it makes sense, but they don't want to rent something. So back to Wally's point, right? You got to own something because it's somewhat of an investment. I'm the opposite. I'm at a different point in life than you guys, though. I've got a young family. I want to be as far away from people as possible with as much land as possible, and I'm willing to make that sacrifice and the cost and the effort. And as Sean just asked, how's the dirt going? I need about another 1,000 yards. I think I told you I had the driveway redone again, and then we're getting close. One more major project for redirecting some water from my neighbor. And then I should be in the clear. So I'm hoping by August, September, I've got seed in the dirt.
Well,
so I think there's
that one, but you're on the wrong one. He's responding to you on T25.
They love it out there. It's a real old house, 100 years old. It has a septic tank in it as well. Does have natural gas, which is a big plus for him, everything else like that. He raises two kids. And it's kind of funny, you know, a whole different lifestyle for them, you know, kind of like where you're at. You know, like 6 year old. He's out in the yard and he has to go take a leak. What does he do? He takes a leak right there. So those two kids are definitely not subdivision material. They're great kids, don't get me wrong, but, you know, they hop on their little quad. you know, one of them's got a little four-wheel electric quad that probably does 10, 12 miles an hour. They got a, you know, their golf cart set up for the field, you know, and it's pretty amazing, you know. It's a whole different lifestyle, and the kids just think nothing of it, just walk outside and go, you know. So I guess it's kind of different, because it depends on where you're at, kind of like where you're at, you know, on the boonies, same type of situation.
Well, I don't know if he's over there. He sounded like that was pretty abrupt. Wally, you scan. We heard it. I think the guys heard it all. Joe, did you hear everything?
Yep, QSL.
Okay, stop the scan. Joe, over to you.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ. Well, guys, I did experience two home ownerships. I've had two homes in my life. And first one was a starter home, a small one-level home with about a half-acre lot down in Tennessee with my wife. And that was neat. I cut the grass. I fertilized. I did everything. I trimmed the bushes. I shoveled the snow if there was any in Tennessee, not as much as up here, but they had snow. Then the next home was a bigger home with less property, about a quarter of an acre lot, and a fairly new home up here would have been a quarter of a million-dollar home. But not to brag by any means, but just to give you an idea. I did all the stuff down there with my wife till I lost my wife and decided to move back to Michigan. And I was up in years, and I was still working. And I thought, you know, I sold all my lawn equipment so I could move more freely. Sold all my, you know, landscaping stuff, weed whackers and all that, get rid of some bulk. So when I got here, I thought, well, I had an apartment. I knew I was going to try to find some place to live, a house, a home, a condo, something. So I found the condo, and the association was one of the best in the area. I researched. And my association dues, which is less than $300, covers all my landscaping, all the lawn work, all the snow removal, bushes, fertilizing, garbage pickup, and also my, one other thing, I can't remember what it was, covers all painting of the outside, just many, many things that if I would have paid separate for all that, it would be a lot more. And shoot, I'm trying to think of something else. Let me reset. I think I mentioned garbage pickup and sewage or whatever. But anyhow, water. I don't pay extra water. I don't pay a water bill. It's all included in the whole building in your association dues because there's four units in my building. So our association dues spread out amongst four people covers the water too. So there's no way I could pay all those things separate and everything. So I've kind of lucked out in my old age. Over to Wally, I believe. I got that right, I hope, KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, that's fine. I think it was Sean's turn, but yeah, I got to tell you something kind of funny, Joe. I don't want to get on the electric lawnmower subject, but you were talking about all of the yard appliances that you need. I just bought an electric lawnmower just because I wanted one. Wow factor, blah, 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 and the noise. That was the biggest thing. And the salesman, he was at a smaller, not a big box store, but a smaller store. He goes, well, what interests you in a lawnmower? Electric lawnmower, and I tell the guy, I said, well, I says, I'm really tired of when I'm watching the game and I have to go out and start the lawnmower for the wife to cut the grass. I says, it really bothers me. You should have seen his face. He didn't know what to say or do. Go ahead, Sean.
Is he getting coffee?
Or a phone call. Go ahead.
You'll have to let me know which one you got and how you like it, because I've got a ditch on the front of my property. I don't know, it's probably 250 feet, and it's super tall grass. I haven't really done anything with it yet, because we're still regrading the whole yard and whatnot, but I've got a feeling that my 60-inch zero turn is not going to be able to cut that, and I'm probably going to have to get a push mower for it, so I'm looking at those. I'm pretty fascinated by electric power tools.
Tell you right now, I bought a Toro, and the only reason I ended up buying a Toro, and I ended up buying it from Lowe's, and the only reason I ended up buying it is because it came with another battery, and the batteries are about $250 a pop, and that's why I got it. So it was about the same money as all the other ones, anywhere between $4 and $6, but it came with another big freaking battery, 60 volt, all that other fun stuff. But that was the reason for it. Sean, if you're there, go ahead. If not, Joe.
KE4ZYQ, you might be getting a coffee. I got a phone call. Tell you something funny, guys, at least funny to me. When I got my first house in Tennessee and I had to put a fence up, chain link fence around the whole backyard, which was about a anywhere from a quarter to a half acre lot, I put a backyard fence around there for the dog. I had a little small dog. My wife and I, we had a walk-behind self-propelled lawnmower, talking about lawnmowers. And you guys made me think of it, talking about electric lawnmowers and that, is when we first got this property and cut the grass. I didn't mind cutting it with the walk-behind, self-propelled. No big deal. But we got out there one day, and I bet the neighbors thought we were weird. We stood on each side of, you know, it was a long yard from front to back, and it was a little narrower. So in the chain-link backyard, my wife was back there one day doing something with flowers and said, "Hey, come here a minute." I stood on one side of the property. She stood on the other side in the backyard. And we sent the lawnmower back and forth and back and forth for quite a while, where we just turned it around and sent it back on the next lane of grass and had a rope tied, a bungee cord around the thing that keeps it self-propelled. And the neighbors probably thought we were weird. I just did it for fun of it. You know, say, "Hey, come here, let's try this." The neighbors thought, "Oh, great, what kind of people are these?" We only did it one time. I don't know if Sean's in there at Dakota or Wally, whoever takes it, take it. KE4ZYQ.
NADBF. And my speaker's getting a little weird on my FTM-150. That's not good. I've seen videos of guys doing that with, they'll put a pole in the ground, and they'll wrap a rope around the mower, and they'll let it just keep working itself around the pole as it cuts. All right, well, yeah, I'll look at that. I was looking at the Milwaukee. I'm already, every tool I have is Milwaukee that I got from the Kia stuff. So they usually do the same thing. They'll have a big battery promo. That's the only way to buy power tools anymore is you got to wait until they do the deals, like the free battery or free tool with battery, whatever they do. But that's a next year problem. I've already got an electric weed whacker, and I love that thing.
Yeah, I was considering the Milwaukee, too, because the Milwaukee comes with those two monster batteries. So I probably should get a little closer to the microphone. I'm using the lazy microphone. Milwaukee comes with those two big monster batteries, but still at the end of the day, that Milwaukee lawnmower was like $1,100, and I just didn't think $1,100 for an electric lawnmower, that just kind of, that was almost double what I really wanted to spend on one. So, and you know, but if your infrastructure is all Milwaukee and you want two 12-amp-an-hour batteries, yeah, that might be worth it, because I think those batteries are, what, $300 a piece or something like that to buy them individually. Sean, you're there? Go. If not, Joe. W8B.
KE4ZYQ, you must have a pretty important call or something. But talking about leaf blowers and things too, or battery-operated stuff, I decided back down in Tennessee when I had my homes, different homes at different times, I decided initially when I got a home, I was going to buy and did buy and was very satisfied with an electric leaf blower. Only problem is you got to have a long extension cord for the property I had was fine. But the leaf blower was great because it wasn't as noisy as, you know, as a gas-powered leaf blower. Those things, you hear those things going, and I mean, you wake up the neighbors if they're still sleeping or something, or they're sick and sleeping in the middle of the day, and it's like, here's this leaf blower. Mine didn't have that much noise to it, and it worked pretty good, and it could actually vacuum leaves and put them in a bag that came with it. So you could suck up leaves without any sticks or anything, leaves, and put it in a bag, and throw it away. It was pretty neat. But I sold all that stuff off at a garage sale. I had a massive garage sale when I moved back, so didn't want to transport stuff I didn't know I would need, and thought about a condo, and I ended up in one, so there you go. I'm not sure anymore who gets it, but you guys know who was next, Dakota or Wade. KE4ZYQ.
My old house was a half-acre subdivision, fenced-in yard, that whole dealio, and that's when I made the decision that I was switching to electric weed whacker, electric blower. I had a Revmax commercial backpack blower for when I had to do leaves because I had a bunch of gigantic maple trees. So leaves every fall was a huge pain. I got a big blower for that. And since I moved to this house, I've gotten rid of it because I don't have any trees. So I still have the electric weed whacker, still have a small electric blower. They're super handy. I just love the no maintenance. I was so against anything electric for the longest time, and then I got one. I'm like, you can't beat it. It's lighter, it's quieter, there's no maintenance. You just charge your battery, plug it in, you're done. And yeah, Wally, those Milwaukee, I call them the lunchbox batteries. Sometimes you catch them on sale. You can usually get them on Amazon for about $199 for the 12 amp. But yeah, sometimes they'll go on sale at Depot for, you get a two pack for, I think you can do it under $500. But I agree. That is a ton of money for something that I don't think is going to last more than a couple years.
Yeah, that would be the only thing that would entice me towards the Milwaukee lawnmower would be the batteries if I needed it. But I mean, you know, some of our worker bees might like that because, you know, they're split. Half of them are DeWalt, half of them are Milwaukee, and we don't care what they use as long as they're happy. So, but yeah, that has a lot to do with it. So, Sean, you're still there. It had to have been some sort of phone call. Take it, if not, Joe, and I've got to get out of here. I have a meeting I have to get to this morning. This is the Thursday morning EDI meeting day, so, and I have to be there. And then today I get to do lots and lots of driving. I have to go to New Hudson and to the airport. So, Sean, you, if not, Joe, WD.
I hope I didn't drive them off there coming into the conversation to throw some different perspective in, but I doubt it. But, guys, interesting stuff. When I moved to where I got real quick right now, when I moved to where I got here, I didn't realize how quiet and nice it was because it's not a through-traffic neighborhood. It's just in and out the same entrance, so there's not a lot of traffic that comes through diverted for construction work or anything, and the noise level... You swear if you're in the house, you swear you're in the county, out in the country area, out of the city limits, you know. It's just so quiet and nice. But anyhow, KE4ZYQ, 73 to all. I'll throw it over to Dakota, whoever's got next, and 73 to all. KE4ZYQ, clear.
All right, everybody. Good conversation this morning. Lawnmowers, weed whackers, blowers, property, landscaping. Good conversation. Everyone have a good day. I'm pulling in the office here anyway. At 8 DBF, I'll be clear.
WAB. WABD Mobile.
You're out early.
It's Thursday.
Friday, payday, Saturday, Silver Bell in Rochester Road, so Farmway Adams Road, I'm sorry. Let's try them on Plymouth Repeater. I'm on Warren right now.
Did we ever fix it so you could get on Phil's Repeater?
Yeah, let me try it. Okay, this is Phil's. Any better?
Muchos.
My reception is pulled up by kind of crackling, but you're saying that that's better TX. It's fine with me. I can still understand you.
Okay. Well, it could be mine. I'm behind Dunkin' Donuts. Just a second here. I'm trying to get a cup of coffee.
No, it's me. I'm going through a bunch of trees here.
Yeah, I'm in a right next to a tall building here in New Baltimore. I'm kind of caved in, so I'm trying to hit Richmond. It might be a problem. I got lots of driving to do today.
So do I. I'm going up here to Pontiac, and then from Pontiac, we're going to Birmingham, and then from Birmingham, we're going to Farmington, and then all the way back home after that. I don't know if they give me something else.
Just a minute, grab my cup of coffee. Okay, I should be better. I'm away from the building.
Oh, that's better. I'm on the pier, so I have an open area by the dump.
I know what else I was going to tell you. I meant to tell you the WHCMC repeater is back on Brandmeister.
Oh, sweetness. That means I'm going to stop by your house so we can get that all programmed, unless you already did that.
I can't remember. I can look. But, yeah, you can go to, like, all sorts of different talk groups from that unit just by punching in the wherever you want to go. I think 3100 works. I think there, you know, there's a lot of different ones that work. And then it'll, you can either be courteous and disconnect it. I think 4000 disconnects it, or I can't remember. It's been a minute since I did it. I've been kind of infatuated with the P25 stuff lately, so I've kind of like tuned that out of my mind, but it'll come back to me. All you gotta do is look at the code plug and see what you got.
Yeah, I'll look it up on my laptop when I get home. Yeah, so we're gonna put Cujo version 2 in there.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna show you how to use some of those talk groups, so, you know, it's kind of fun if you're bored, you know, it's kind of like a poor man's version of HF. Anyways, I'm going to be doing a U. I'm going to be driving all over. I got to go to New Hudson and the airport. I think I said that. I don't know if you heard me or not, so. I gotta go look at, get some, dig this. I gotta go drive and put some stickers on a lift that we've sold in New Hudson that nobody did. And then FedEx at the airport just bought a whole bunch of stuff off of us, and I have to coordinate the installation.
Is that a lift for the trucks, or is that a lift for the planes?
I'm not really sure. 48,000 pounds apiece, so I don't think that would be enough to pick up an airplane, but again, why would they need something that big? I don't get it, you know, so there's four of them, so 200,000 pounds, so I'm not really sure. It was sold direct by the company. We just have to put it together and train it and get paid on it, blah, 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 but I'm not really sure why they needed something that heavy, so if they're picking up airplanes, they're going to have to get somebody in smarter than me, because I am not touching a multi-million dollar aircraft with the lift.
Well, More than likely it's because there's semis there, so it's hit intermodal warehouse right there, so it's probably for some of the vehicles or the trailers or something. That's what I'm thinking. 40,000 pounds, that sounds about the right weight for a podcast.
Oh, that's true. You've got a little bit of experience with that, so. Okay, sir, I am here at the office. I'm going to go in and do what I do best, which is, I'm not sure. But I'm going to go do it. So 73s and 29s and all those other numbers that were kind of antiquated. So talk to you later. KJOWAZD. See you, Tom.
Yo.
Hey there. So I never got a chance to work with the radio last night. I had an issue with my eye. I had to go to the emergency room. But so I'm just starting to play with it. The battery they sent is like, it doesn't even hold a charge for more than a few minutes. So I don't know what I'm going to do about that. It's going to make it very difficult to program.
Yes, it is. Two things you could do. You could use it as a battery eliminator, and get a better battery on order. That's probably what I'd do, is if you could get it apart, make a battery eliminator out of it. But can you work on it while it's in the charger?
I don't know. Let's see. Does it can it power on when it's charging? It seems to come, let's see, please wait. I made a couple beeps, yeah, maybe.
That was kind of a rhetorical question. You can. If you wanted to play with it, you could do that and get a battery on order as best you can do, right?
Yeah. I'm just wondering, I hate to ask this again, but do you have a battery I can borrow until I get a new one?
Probably. The problem is that I've got piles of ancient batteries, and you'd have to go through a bunch of them to see if you could find one that would be even reasonably. There's probably one or two that at least would be reasonably, you could use them somewhat. But the time and the effort to sift through them all and test them. I mean, I got a multi-unit charger that you can put them in and cycle them and all that stuff, but I just can't do it.
Okay, I understand. All right, and I don't know what your schedule is like, but I actually have to be back out in your neighborhood this afternoon to visit and see my eye doctor again because of what happened last night. Are you busy today? You could actually put the radio on the monitor.
I have interviews through noon. And then after that, I'm fine. So if it's afternoon, I should be all set.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my appointment's at 2, so I'm thinking I'll be out of there hopefully by 2:30, 3 at the latest.
Oh, so you want me to stay late. I get it. Yeah, no problem. When I get back, I'll try to get a half a dozen batteries in the – I got multi-bank chargers that condition, and I'll see if I can find something that's even reasonably – see, I have 5,000, you know, so I got a ton of 2,500s, hundreds of them, and they all have batteries, but, you know, I don't know if any of them are any good. I might even have a stack of, you know, new old stock, but still, shelf life is a killer. So I'll see if I can find you something that'll at least work in the meantime, but I am not going to be able to do anything before – my first interview comes up here at 10, so I've got very little minimum amount of time before I get the hell out of here, and then I won't be back till after lunch.
Yeah, that's perfect. So, okay. So I'm going to be at 59 at Shaner. That's only, maybe 10 minutes from you. So I'll call you when I leave the doctor's office.
Okay, I'll expect to hear you. Like I said, after lunch, this is probably going to be my last, and I'm probably going to be incommunicado until after lunch. All right, later. W8FU.
Very good. AV8 here.
W8FU. W8BD Mobile. Let's see if Bloomfield works. WAVD.
Absolutely, that's the one I'm on also.
There you go. I'm heading towards what they call the mixing ball. I think I'm almost under it.
Bought Hall Road in 75?
696 and 75. Hold on, I gotta get this call. I'll call you back. WBD.
KCKGO.
I'm back. I got on some spam list and it really upsets me. I mean, I'll bet you I get 5 calls an hour.
Oh, yeah, I get text messages, at least 10 of them a day. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Mr. President wants to do something. He needs to start cracking down on this, because this isn't even, it's not even, it's just very upsetting. I mean, it's how these guys can just think they can keep calling, it just amazes me, it's just phenomenal.
Well, there's a national do not call list that you can put your numbers on, and somehow it notifies them that they're not allowed to do that. But I forgot if it's indefinite or are you going to do it like every 6 months or every year. I'm going to have to do it again.
I did it. It doesn't work. See, there's another one. Hold on. I used to just answer and not say anything and mute them, and that used to work, but that doesn't work anymore.
No, it doesn't. What I've done is when I answer and they start talking, I'm like, no, and then I hang up. But if you say anything other than no, they can use that in a recording and sign you up for stuff.
Yeah, or, hello, we sent you a mail and we're following up on it. Did you get that mail? Try to establish a relationship.
Yeah, no. I give them one short answer because my satellite provider likes to do that. They try pushing you into an additional package. I'm like, no. I'm like, yeah, but us. I'm like, no, no. And I do it like six times. And finally I just hang up.
Yeah, and I blame Verizon some too. They can filter these things better. I pay $3.98 for their call filter thing, and it might catch two of them out of the 10.
Yeah, I just stop answering them. I look up. I don't know the number, and I just hit voicemail. If it's important, they give voicemail. If they don't, then I know it was a spam call.
You know what's amazing to me? How well Bill's repeater works here on the west side. I am in Novi, and it's actually working remarkably well. Good job, Phil.
Oh, yeah, it's clear as a bell. When they said he got that new machine up, I mean, it just started banging out the signals on it. It's great. KCKJO.
W-H-V-D. I'm at Beck Road, Novi exit. I gotta go to the next one. I have to go to a Cummins dealer over here. Got some of our product, and they won't call me back. So I'm not sure if they're mad at us, if they didn't get it. It just doesn't make sense. So I'm over here trying to fix it.
Well, you're like me. Fix the problems that somebody else created.
Yeah, I'm a fireman.
Well, yeah, my coworker and I were just up here in Pontiac trying to get an intercom call station at the gate to work, and it wasn't coming up, and there was no signals on it, and somebody had it plugged in the wrong spot. Somebody unplugged my Cat 5 cables and moved them around in the ports on the main switch, and it's like, oh, lordy. So when you hit up, it says that it's the lower one, and when you hit the lower one, it says it's the upper one. So they were taking guesses on replugging things back in, but doing the 1, 2, 3, 4 with my fingers and toes, and I got everything all set back up again.
I'm at Beck Road, just got off Beck Road, and it's working well. So we got some pretty decent coverage here on the west side of the three-county area.
Yeah, I'm at Telegraph and Square Lake, so I'm well within the ring of fire.
I'm following this dump truck that got me caught under a red light.
Yesterday's lunch ago at Petrillo's.
It went well. It was basically a RPSC meeting, you know, about directions, advanced topics, things of that nature. Nothing less like setting the world on fire, you know, but nonetheless, it was informative. Sean did a presentation there that was really well. All his presentations when it comes to that kind of thing is really well. He's a busy camper today. got, he's surprised, he said he's got a handful of them that are all great candidates, so he's got to make that decision.
Yeah, I have someone that I know personally that I directed him towards applying for that position. I think he would do good if he gets it.
Well, I guess he's up against a handful of people, so best of wishes.
Yeah, like I said to us, they got a group of them now that actually have qualifications and whatever else, you know. They all got the goods that he needs. Now he's just got to make a decision which one has the most goods.
Yipper, I get it. So, 1.9 miles to turn right. Well, just curious how far this thing will go. Napier Road, so Grand River is what I think I'm at.
So far, so good. Sounds like you're about to bounce into Wixom.
I think so. I just remember this place being farther, but maybe not. Hopefully they won't kick me out. Hopefully the relationship isn't that bad. Or the other possibility is our competitor got it. And if that's the case, my partner is not going to be a happy camper.
Well, was it a thing, or is the equipment already there? They just haven't called you for anything.
It was one of those things that they called and ordered it right from the factory, type national account type thing. Stuff was delivered via the factory because they do this direct sale thing, but they still take care of the distributor. They treat them like it was their sale, blah, 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 everything else like that. But for some reason, this one didn't go that way. So that's what I'm going to try to fix. You probably got the same gig in your business.
Absolutely. I mean, where we're at in Pontiac, they've been there for years, but we didn't install the equipment. We didn't wire it. There's no documentation, so we're flying blind on it. But we now service. And just between me and my coworkers' knowledge, we were able to troubleshoot and correct the issues.
I know what I was going to tell you, speaking about companies and things. I saw a JCI truck get off my exit 29 heading towards New Baltimore the other day.
Well, there's me. There's one that's down the street from me on M19, but he doesn't have the security sticker, and you know, so I know it's not. He's probably from HVAC or Pipe Fitters, because it doesn't say fire. Fire would be Simplex or sister company. But the one getting off on over by you, I can't think of who that may be. Well, we got a couple guys, and we got one guy in Ovid, we got another guy in Croswell, I'm in Memphis, another guy is in Riley. Oh, geez, I'm thinking who else is out there. That could have been Eric if he had to go. Eric lives off of 21, so might have been him. He might have just skipped over. For a reason, went in the back way to his subdivision.
I gotta go. WAPD.
Good luck, TCKTO.
One more time. WDHKLLKFHDIC. KFHDIC, clear.
WDAKLL.
Jack, you're all noise there.
Too much noise? There's nobody out there.
No, I was saying your signal was noisy. Now it's better.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
Side there, you were coming in really rough.
625.
Yeah, the first time you keyed up, you had an echo. You must have had two radios on. Then I could barely hear you the second time. It was just all static. Yeah, you're cutting out a little bit there in your last transmission here. Yeah, you need to bump up the power or move a little bit, one of the two.
Bump up the power a little bit more.
Any progress on that weed whacker?
No, I tried so many times yesterday. I have a couple of them, but I tried so many times. Still work. You know what, I was thinking to just go to Myers and get that gas, that expensive gas, and put it in and see what happens.
Well, is the gas that's in there fresh or is it old?
Well, it could be, I don't know. Well, we had it was about 3 weeks ago I put in a new gas. 89.
That shouldn't be a problem then. If it was only 3 weeks ago, if it was put in there from last year, I'd say yeah. But 3 weeks ago and it was running before that, yeah, it's probably not the fuel. It's probably your carburetor.
That could be. I don't know, I might have to take him to this guy out there. He said that he'll check him out and tell you what's wrong with him. It's going to cost $35.
Well, if you weren't so far, or somehow if we could get together, I could take that apart and fix it for you, no problem. You're a transmitter, not a GMRS.
Now?
Yeah, that's just the last transmission was. You said something about going to Saginaw. Say that again.
Said now.
What was that last transmission there, Jack?
On the hammer, Peter.
Yeah, you are now.
Even before.
Anyways, I can fix that weed whacker for you if we can get together.
I'll probably bring it up. You got a couple of them. It was a toy belt one.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, if it's firing up and, you know, you got spark, it's definitely the fuel system, and it's probably the carburetor's got some junk plugged up in it. And it's a matter of taking the carburetor off, taking the bowl apart, pulling the jets out, cleaning it out, putting it back together. That's all it needs.
Yeah, you're right. That's probably that's what it could be. Anyhow. All right, great. Let me talk to you a little bit later. You got to do a couple of things here at the house, and I got to leave. We'll talk again. KMA-DRC.
Okay, Jack. Have a good day. We'll talk to you later. WDAK, all clear.
Thank you.
W-A-K-E-D.
A-B-A-B-R, W-A-K-E-D.
W-A-K-E-D,
Novi.
W-A-F-U, A-B-A-P.
W-A-F-U.
All right, I'm 10 minutes out. Does that work for you?
Yep, you know where it is and where to come in, right?
I do.
Okay, see you when you get here.
Do you want anything from Portillo's or just pass right by it?
I'm all good.
Okay. W-A-P-D Mobile.
W-3-LNS-W-4-XED.
Hey, W-4-XED. This is W-3-LNS.
I caught you without any traffic. Okay, well, I just left work, so I should be there in about 15-20.
Sounds good. I had issues with the pool filter today, and I had water everywhere. So I might need help with you tightening up the clamps for me.
Copy that. Should be simple enough. I'll see you when I get there. 88. W3LNS, W4XCD, I'll be listening.
W3LNS, signing out.
W3LNS, just a quick question, please.
Sure, what is it?
Well, good afternoon. I hear you folks out there every day about this time, and I couldn't remember the fellow's call sign. Would you mind telling me where you're located? I'm over in southeast Michigan there, and from your call sign, it seems like you're quite a long ways off.
Actually, we're in Casco. I just decided to do the W3 because I'm a nurse practitioner and I wanted the wellness call sign.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. I thought, boy, how are they getting in from my, I looked up a W-3, the call sign there, and it said, where the heck was it, Maryland or something like that? I said, how in the heck are they getting all the way over here? All right, thank you. Have a good day. K-E-A-W-O-J.
You have a great day as well. W-3 Anna, signing out.
You just got a super-powered Yagi pointed at Michigan. W-4-X-E-D.
Yeah, Roger, that's what I wanted to find out. I wanted to get one of those. K-E-A-W-O-J. K-E-A-C-A-K-J-O.
Go ahead. Wes Bloomfield on Phil's repeater.
Yes, sir, that's where I'm at.
All righty then. Just finishing up work, co-workers down the street. I wanted to get me a Dairy Queen, so I did.
I'm telling. Oh, you're killing me. I've been fighting off the urge for a Häagen-Dazs, some Häagen-Dazs ice cream all day long.
Well, like I said, my coworker, his doctor's office is just down the street here on Northwestern. And I'm like, you know what's nice outside? I want a Dairy Queen. He goes, you go do that. I got to go see the doctor. I'm like, fine. So here I am, sitting in the parking lot, eating vanilla dipped in chocolate. Wally, how are you, sir?
What up? I'm squealing, calling your wife and telling her you're eating ice cream.
And I will deny it all together.
But we have witnesses. W-A-B-D. Go ahead, whoever the witness was.
I'm pleading the fifth.
Who does allow to have ice cream once in a while?
It was a good way today. I had sugar-free iced tea.
I had a bologna sandwich and a bag of frosted mini wheats as a snack.
Usually tackle almost a pint of Häagen-Dazs vanilla bean, but I try to wait for the evening, sort of a treat for the day, but I don't think I'm going to make it today. T-A-W-J.
Yeah, that's my weakness. There really isn't too many ice creams I don't like. Soft, hard, Hudson's Dill, Pesky's, Häagen-Dazs. Any of them. The creamier, the better.
Oh, when I lived in L.A., there was a Häagen-Dazs ice cream place, and it was a bar. And so you tell them if you wanted vanilla or chocolate, and they pulled it out. It was a block of Häagen-Dazs, and they'd dip it right in the chocolate.
Oh, every time I used to go to Dairy Queen, I used to get one of those blizzards because they were so much bigger than a cone.
That's too much for me. Way too much. I just like the ice cream and chocolate in a cone. Wally.
Yeah, one with the chocolate strips in it and the cherry and the regular cherry, the marshmallow cherries. I don't know what it's called, but if I see that in the big bucket, that's got my name on it.
Did you guys ever hit the original frozen custard there on Utica Road just before it hits a mound? Man, that stuff was good. We used to drive from Roseville over there a couple times a week just to get some of that stuff.
That's the pumpkin stuff in the fall, right?
Irma's frozen custard. And the got the pumpkin custard during the month of October before they close on October 31st. They open on April Fool's Day and they close on Halloween. That's the place. I used to love it when I was a kid because we'd all get these gigantic cones, and they were big. And my little sister, she would never eat. She'd just eat a little bit off the top, so I got two of them. I'm an ice cream freak, always have been.
We have got to change the subject, or I'm going to stop at Dairy Queen.
A long drive, Wally. You're coming from Novi.
No, I've cleared Novi. I went down to the airport to the new FedEx building down there. Man, is that place beautiful. It is like right on the runway, and oh my gosh, I didn't realize FedEx was that profitable, but that building was absolutely freaking beautiful. And I found out what they were doing with the 40,000-pound lift, Tom. They were picking up the tugs.
That's the name of that stupid thing. I knew they were picking up some type of truck. Yeah, the tugs, yeah. 40,000 pounds, yeah, that's a tug. And that tug, depending on which one it is, either connects to the front wheel of the airplane or has a little stick that you attach to it and it pulls it. Yeah, I used to watch those all the time. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, I forgot who the other guy was. Just give us your name. Say your call every 10 minutes.
This is
WAPD, Wally.
Hey, Wally, it's Rick over here in West Bloomfield, K-E-A-W-O-J.
Hey, this guy's got a brand new shiny repeater over there.
And it's only a mile from my house.
Better than a hotspot.
That's so pretty. Did he put in a Motorola, Wally, or what did he put in there?
I actually know the answer to that question, an MTR 2000.
And my response would be so weak. Is he doing, was he doing 35 on it, or is he doing 65 on the output?
I can't remember. I was there when they were setting it up, but I think I just ran that light, and I was going to say I could go. Good thing I didn't. Just a second. I'll do this without getting killed. Yeah, I'm not sure where they set it. To be honest with you, I know they're working on a really weak one over in the Grosse Pointe area for those people over there. So I did hear that, but I don't know how far along it is, you know. But I've worried about ham radio. Everything's a wish and a dream until it actually happens. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I'm loving this WB repeater. I always did. I can sit out on the porch now with my little HT and talk around the network. FBI network there. You guys done a great job with that.
There was no you guys for me. That was Bill and Sean. And I think it was Bill's money. So but either way, it's a nice radio. Built real, real well, solid as a brick, and it's got a decent location. And world according to Wally, when it comes to repeaters, it's like real estate. It's location, location, location. Go ahead, Tom.
That's probably why I can't hit Romeo Hall too well when I'm in Romeo, because it's in Bruce, and I don't think the tower's high enough. I thought I heard him last year. I thought they were putting one up in Bad Axe.
I don't know that. I don't know where all the other ones are, but I know they're connected together to a lot of them up north. I don't pay any attention to the ones up there. I should look. Right on the website, open to the public, you can see all of them that are there. But I'm not sure what towns they're all involved with. So, but yeah, it's a nice system. Very nice. Does a great job, and we got some people that do it that radio is everything to them, and they really understand all the ins and outs, and I think that that's important. So, what else was I going to say? There's something else I was going to say. I can't remember. Hey, at least we're off the ice cream subject. WAV.
I know they got one in Pecanning, because I got it pretty far there. There's one in Saginaw, so I know going up 75 when I was going to Petoskey, I had real good coverage for quite a ways. I haven't heard the Bad Axe one yet, but that'd be interesting to get up that way. I mean, Jeff and Fred just got it all over the place. Yeah, I used to hear them on the radio, and I think they were looking for a good spot to put one up there, but then all of a sudden I just didn't hear any more about it, so I was just curious. And it's a pretty good, I think it's also connected to, what is it, CMU, or the Central Michigan Network there. So it's kind of surprising you get out quite a ways.
That's all pretty good. Oh, I know what I can tell you, Tom. You're talking about the Richmond repeater. What I've noticed with that one is that it's stronger north of the site than it is south of the site. Because, like, I've used it going along 69 and probably gone about 15, 20 miles. So it seems to be real, for some reason, it seems to be strong going north than it does, like, heading towards New Baltimore. Because you would think I'd be able to use it with a handy talk at my house. But I'm in New Baltimore also, too, and it's radio cursed over here. I'm going to let you guys go. Rick, Tom, you guys can all get your own call sign. WAPD, you guys have fun. I am in my driveway.
You know, I'm always out here. KCKGO. Go ahead, Rick.
Sorry, I think I doubled with you. I was just saying 7-3s to Mr. DD, and have a great day, and I'd catch him later.
Yeah, Rick, in regards to the FBI repeater is connected to Phil's repeater, which is connected to the CMN, which is, I think, Fred and his dad, which handles, you know, which they have the other ones. They're all intertwined, FBI, UMP, Phil's. And it's a pretty widespread thing. If you go to the website, you'll see them all. And it's pretty cool, and there's a lot of coverage on it all.
It seems like, what do we have, like 30 repeaters to choose from in southeast Michigan here? And it seems like they're dead all day long except for you guys. this network seems to be the only game in town anymore.
Well, a bunch of us get on during the afternoon, in the morning, I think just after, between I think 7 and 8 or something like that, maybe a little bit earlier than that. There's a group of guys on. As they're on their way to work. I start going to work anywhere between 7 and 9, so I'm on there around there. Wally lives just down the street from me, the next couple towns over kind of thing. You know, and he hits work around the same time I do, and then I just bounce around during the day. I just jump out here when I'm sitting doing nothing and throw my call out there and see who's out there. K-A-J-O for ID.
Yeah, we kind of do the same thing on the KAPLW there. About 5 in the morning, these fellows are headed to work. One from Oxford, one from over around 23 in Gratiot over in that area. Anyway, a few people in us, and then Keith over by Canton there. And so we ride along with them to work kind of thing. And then in the afternoon on the way home, but they used to all get out about the same time, but now they're all getting out at all different times. So it kind of put a kibosh on the afternoon roundabout there. Yeah, if I get out early enough, you know, on the road, and I get down into Richmond and in the town where I pick up the GM repeater, and I'm on the East Coast reflector, you know, I jump on that net every so often. Yeah, I used to love that East Coast reflector. Like the Morning Brew, I think they called it. I think they got two of them now, a few hours of. But it used to be just, you know, comments, just like around, like the what we're doing now, different topics, you know, every individual had a different kind of little topic. But now they have these questions like, what color is the sky, and what kind of coffee do you like? Just what I want to do is hear, listen, 2 hours of what kind of coffee do you like? K-E-8-W-O-J. Exactly. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's just, you know, operators throughout the, you know, throughout the network calling in and saying good morning to everybody, and, you know, they do a topic of the day. You know, it's a roundtable. It's a chit-chat kind of thing. It keeps the radio active, keeps the hobby active, you know, because as I see it, the STC looks at all the frequencies and more or less say, if you don't use it, lose it, because they have that authority, of course. So if we keep it active and the frequencies active that we have, then it makes it all the more better. It expands our horizons. That's how I see it. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Is it just you and me now? I think. I think so, yeah. W8BD went inside. He might pop on later. And I think the other FBI guys might be out here soon, if they aren't already. If they are, good afternoon, everybody. Nothing heard. So you're on your way home today from work? Not yet. I got my ice cream, like I said, because my coworker was down the road here, over here in, what is this, Bloomfield Township, whatever, Orchard Lake in the 14 mile, and stopped off at his doctor that's here. We're working together, and then once he gets up, then we'll probably hightail it home. Started early today, of course. Oh, gotcha. You're only a couple miles from me. That's why you're booming right in here. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm just east of you, probably by, 4 miles at that. Yeah, I think, let's see, what's Lone Pine? I think it's 16 mile or something like, no, maybe that's Walnut Lake. But yeah, it's not very far anyway. I'm right over here by Walnut Lake there. I was probably booming because I forgot to drop my power. Now I'm down to 5. I was pushing 25 on. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not that far. I don't need to be that high. So drop my power down. That might be better. So I'm not blowing up the antenna. And I noticed no difference. You're still just kind of booming right in here loud and clear. Like you're sitting in the chair next to me. I tend to do that on the mic. All depends on which way I point it. If I do it right here, I'm talking into it. If I do it this way, I'm talking across it. Yep, gotcha. I think I'm running a whole booming 10 watts here on this HD. No, I'm in my mobile. I'm sitting here in my work van outside the office building door. Don't have anything else to do, so, and we live like a mile from each other, maybe 3 miles from each other. So as soon as he's done here, then we're just going to hightail it back to Memphis. Well, that's quite a drive. If you don't mind my asking, what kind of work do you do? In layman terms, I'm a service technician. In special capacity, I am the Senior Access System Specialist for the Detroit area for Johnson Controls. That sounds real interesting. I bet that keeps you hopping all the time.
All depends on the day. All depends on the day. Some days I can be slow, sometimes I can be busy. Right now, my coworker and I mean, we've been working together side by side for about the past month or so, but we're also the two main troubleshooters for a lot of the systems around. So when somebody else has an issue, they send us in, and we go do the magic that we do, I guess you can say. He majors in cameras, I major in access, but due to our experience and the time with the company, we cover all the bases, cameras, card access, burg alarms, and fire.
And when I was living in Lapeer there, there was a Johnson Controls there, and I tried to get in there, interviewed one day, and I was surprised they had robots in there, just all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's the old automotive division. They sold that off probably about 8 years ago, something like that, 2018, I think, maybe 2016. I can't remember when my company merged with JCI. I just look at my paycheck and say, okay. So as long as I get a paycheck, I don't care who I work for.
Yes, sir, I know the feeling. It was the same way. Call me anything you want except for late for dinner and payday.
My point exactly. I think tomorrow is payday. And then Saturday is the baseball game.
Oh, you going to see the Tigers, or you guys got a your own little league going?
No, I acquired two tickets to Saturday's game from a fellow ham that messaged, and he goes, you want two tickets to the game on Saturday? I'm like, sure. So I called my coworker, the one I'm waiting for, and I said, what are you doing Saturday? Nothing. I'm like, want to go to a game? He's like, sure. I said, okay, you drive.
Yeah, I had a little group of friends there at, used to invite me to the Red Wing games all the time because I didn't drink. And so I got designated as the designated driver.
I haven't been to a Red Wings game in a long time. I think my son and my daughter went to the game, the last game at Cobo, before they moved over to LCA.
Yeah, I haven't been to one in forever either, and I'm just getting too old and wobbly to make it down there. And actually, you know, I got spoiled with TV because you got a whole lot better coverage. You can see everything going on, and the announcers are telling you, you know, everything that's going on there. But it is different being there, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot easier this past football season because my wife and my daughter liked watching football and got a 65-inch television in our tiny little living room to watch the game. And it's just phenomenal to be able to just sit there and just watch the play-by-play. You know. But, yeah, I haven't been to the Tigers game. I haven't been to Comerica Park in here. Oh, no, wait. We went probably back. My son got tickets to his Carpenters Union. And we did that one day. This time around, as I got it from a fellow ham, we're sitting in the Tiger's Den.
Oh, wow, that'll be kind of nice. I don't know why I just, you know, I played sports back in high school and all that. I played football, basketball, baseball, all that kind of stuff. But I can't really watch it other than hockey. Well, I shouldn't say hockey. I should say Red Wing hockey. That's about the only... It's about the only sport I watch on TV is Red Wing hockey. As soon as the Red Wings are out of it, I'm done watching.
KKK deal. Yeah, I watch, you know, I bring up the game every so often, you know, when the Wings are on. My dad liked the Kings also, so I used to bounce between the two. I grew up around hockey. My dad played amateur hockey for the Kresge Foundation, so I grew up around it.
Yeah, I kind of grew up, too. My mother's side of the family were big Red Wings fans, and it seemed like the TV over the weekends, I guess it was, was always tuned into a Red Wing game. Yep, same in my house when I was little, younger, in my younger days. Every time there was a game, my father was sitting there watching it, glued to the television. Nobody said anything. Unless we were working on the model railroad, then the game would be on the radio in the basement. But you never missed a game on the radio or on the television.
Where was Mr. Cabeza today?
I think he was working. Did he have an appointment with you, sir?
Never requested an interview.
Really? He filled it out and didn't do anything? I'm going to have to beat him for that one.
Yeah, I was shocked when I got there and said that. They said, no, they said these are the only ones that, asked for a slot, because all the candidates were told to pick a time slot, and he never responded. He never picked a time slot for interview.
I'll ask him about that. I was talking to him earlier. I know he had some medical issues. That was a little bit worse than mine, probably about 3 weeks ago. So I should check on him.
Okay, no, I was just curious. I was just kind of shocked he wasn't there, and he had a pretty damn good chance of nailing it, but for reasons. Anyhow, I don't want to get into it any more than that, but we're pretty happy anyhow. It's pretty much a done deal, so there's no going back now, but yeah, windows opened and closed. All right, I'll be back out here in the mobile shortly. So be at a few.
Go ahead. I heard another breaker and everybody couldn't make anything out. And good afternoon, Sean. And I thought you were supposed to be digging up some batteries for Phil. At least that's what I heard this morning. But my memory's about an inch long. KEAWOJ.
Tell him.
Tell him what? Oh, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're all set.
He's right here. He's standing next to me.
Yeah, oh, cool. Guess I called that one right. Well, he told me I don't listen well, and I guess that proves they're wrong.
APR. Warren. Inside the building. Okay. So, I work in this. Oh, hello? Stand by the window. So, yeah, we're all straightened out here.
By the radio still. And, Rick, yeah, I mean, sometimes my only thought is an afterthought. Yes, sir, I'm kind of right here with you.
Okay, please.
No, I want another ice cream, gold darn it. Oh, you had to bring that up. I just got that out of my mind. I'm not going to make it till this evening. Yeah, but I can't. Yeah, so they cheated with that one. I'm really supposed to be watching my sugar and my cholesterol and all that other fun stuff. So, but being up this way, coworker says, yeah, there's a dairy queen right there. I'm like, all right, that's where I'm going. I'll see you back at your doctor's in a minute. So I sat out here and finished it all off while I was waiting.
He's still in there, and I'm still sitting in the parking lot.
Oh, man, I ended up back in the Dairy Queen again. I had the same thing. I got there was a Dairy Queen right around the corner from my doctor's office, so if I could get there early, I'd stop at the Dairy Queen first. And, yeah, the cholesterol, all the other good stuff. But, you know, if you kind of look into it, almost everything but water is probably bad for you, and most of that's not that great anymore either.
Well, I've cut back on the caffeine. I've cut back on eating a lot. Cut back on my salt and the gooey-goody snacks that I used to eat. Well, today I did a lot. But, yeah, I'm trying to watch it. Hey, I lost like 8 pounds. I'm trying to keep it off.
Oh, congratulations. I got some serious gut troubles there. I ended up buying a carrot cake, so I polished that off this morning.
Oh, that reminds me, I have some banana muffins, and I have a blueberry muffin in here, too. Of course, a whole bunch of Nutter Butters, not Nutter Butters, the little peanut butter cookies that are shaped like peanuts. Yeah, I have this thing for sweets.
Well, join the club. Man, I don't know who doesn't. Well, I guess I've met a few people over my lifetime, but not very many. KEAWOJ.
Well, that's the thing is I'm lactose intolerant too, so when I do the ice cream, it's kind of like a double-edged sword. So I try to watch it. And I got gut issues. I got immune issues. Oh, I'm just chock full of joy today.
Yeah. Seems like when we're young, we can't wait till we hear all about retirement, how great it's going to be, and then by the time we get there, we're broke down. We're way past the mileage on the warranty, I guess.
Yeah, I think the warranty expired at 40.
I kind of think we ought to have the retirement first. After school and all that, we ought to have a retirement for at least 20 years or so, and then start the serious working.
I guess it all depends on what you do, your job description and stuff, because I have a friend out in California. I was in law enforcement, and she retired 5 years ago, if not longer.
Yeah, I went to school with a lot of guys who went into the some of the car plants there, and I can't remember what it was, but it wasn't very long, and they were all out with good pensions and medical benefits and all that. And I thought, here I was spending all my time building the machines that built the cars. I guess I did it the wrong way.
I guess so. I'm going to jump here real quick. My coworker just came out, so I'm going to see what our plan of attack is. I'll say 73 on your final, KCKGO.
Okay, sir, thanks for the QSO. Have a great day, and we'll catch you down the road. KEAWOJ, we'll be clear.
Now you sound a little bit better. KCKGO. Go on, Phil.
Hello, we over on the east side. Doing okay?
Yes, sir, I'm in your neck of the woods, but I'm going to be heading northeast now. Time to go home.
All right, well, I'm heading west. It's sounding pretty good out here, better than I expected.
I'm at Northwestern and Middle Belt and pushing 5 out of my radio to your tower, and it sounds beautiful.
That's good.
Hold on, I'm going to switch over to the other one. I'm getting interference on the receive side. Hold on. Yeah, there's something on the 442.5, something that I run into. There are certain places driving around, I get this interference on into my receiver. I don't know what it is. Some kind of, might be like a POS system at a store or something. Certain areas are worse than others.
Door openers, automatic door openers.
Is that what it is? Oh my God. Somebody had to do something about that.
Yeah, Warren is like that around, what, 12 and Stevenson, Sean? Drive around there, you get that stag and that chirp here and there.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard that on UHF in the 442.5, 442.6. I hear it a lot on 442.5. Everywhere I go, you know, pops up here and there. But I tracked it down once a long time ago, and they found out it was a common frequency range for those automatic door openers to detect when you're walking up to them. And I don't know how true that is, but pretty sure we tracked it to that and had confirmation. Still a long time ago, though.
90s. Yeah, I thought they used the K-band radar, which is why I always had to shut that off on my radar detector. I didn't think, is it just a harmonic?
Well, I don't know, but that's lower than radar, so radar's in the 10 and the 24, I think, meg range or something. Or gig, so not sure. Been a very long time. I just remember, door.
There also back in that era was microwave motion detectors.
Or worse, the ultrasonic ones. I used to walk into my hearing used to be able to pick those things up, and I'd walk into a room with those things on. It's like, oh my God.
You know, there's some still in use for fence protection. Like if it's an open area, you can't put a gate across it, or the width is too wide to put a gate across. They use microwave beams. You got a transmitter and a receiver, and when it trips, you know, so you hear that every so often. I heard that a lot over at the airports that I worked at.
Yeah, I used to be able to hear the, the high-frequency oscillator in the old TVs. I'd go walk into a house, and I could tell somebody had a TV on somewhere.
High-pitched, not really a whine, I can't say, but yeah, I know what you walked in, and like, somebody's got a TV on in here, and you can just, like, pinpoint right where it's at. KKK deal.
Yeah, I don't know if I could tell where it was coming from. It seemed to be coming from everywhere. Just, you know, I just know it would, like, just tell that there was a TV on somewhere in the vicinity. Of course, that's all gone by the wayside with all the new stuff.
Yeah, I'm tone deaf in portions. And, but today I was in an account, and one of the legs blew on the power pole outside this one building, and all of a sudden I could hear this humming coming from different areas. I'm like, you just lost a leg. I can hear the motors humming. Sean, you still up there? Go ahead.
I am, but I'm kind of decompressing from the day. I've had a bit. I haven't had a whole lot of time, so. But, just enjoying listening instead of talking.
All right. Now, I'm going to just listen for a bit. Traffic's going to start backing up pretty good right where we're in the next couple miles, so I'll pay attention. Talk to you later. Sean, catch you later. ADPR.
Well, if we're all listening, who's going to be talking? WEP. All right, I think I doubled with you. I said, if we're all listening, who's going to be talking? WEP.
What's going on, Captain?
Just another day in paradise. How you doing?
Well, I'm done with my work. And then I got to set up a play date with you so we can mess around with that arrow antenna. I just got to get Dakota's Retevis from him. And once he gives me a price on that, then we can start playing around.
All right, yeah, I should be spending some more time at my house here now that kids are out of school and stuff, so that'll be cool. That radio I set up for you has a satellite stuff, too.
Yeah, I just don't have the antenna. It's an adapter for it, where Dakota's got the whole setup. He's got the radio and the antenna adapter and everything, and he's already had it preset for the satellites. I just got to pull off the information through OpenGD and update the satellite info on it. I mean, I got two ICOM HDs that has a PNC on it. They're duplex dual watch. I mean, we can maybe set that up as an interim.
Yeah, they make SMA to PNC adapters, too. I might actually have some laying around at the house. I'll have to look through my box. Well, I've got both kinds because the any tone takes a different SMA than the TYT and the Retevis. So I'll search them up and see what I can find next time I'm at the house. And then, yeah, of course, that Retevis will work fine too.
Yeah, for the ICOMs, the batteries are nickel cans or nickel metal. So I got to have that for a little bit, but not any. One of them will last for a couple hours, so if I don't use them all that much, I might order a couple batteries for them, the good radios, and just have that as like a basic setup where I could just like plug and play, just turn it on, put the arrow on it, and even though it doesn't have satellite and stuff, at least I get an idea where I can bounce off of, you know, off the air with them.
Right, do that. Yeah, I just did a little bit of ISS, the one pass I need three contacts, and this last one was so easy. I tried to make two. Every time I keyed up, somebody would keyed up over me.
Yeah, when the weather stops being cold at night or in the afternoon, you know, I'll pop over there, and we can set it all up. It's just sitting upstairs on a box right now. I didn't put the other elements on it. They're just on a clip on the side. You can at least show me how to use the thing. Now, my only question is, I can use that for just a standard dual band, can I not?
Yeah, you can use that to try to hit the repeaters, you know, at 2 meters, 70 centimeter repeaters and whatnot. Yeah, it works. When I got mine on that Star Trek rotor, sometimes I'll point it toward Mount Clemens and try to hit the UMB and all that. So, yeah, you can use it for lots of things, as long as it's 2 meters and 70 centimeters.
And that'll work for me. So it gives me another little thing that I can try around with. So I've got those ICOM HDs, because I don't use them that much, but it gives me a purpose to bring the antenna out, put the elements on it, tap on the VNC, and try to hit Mount Clemens on VHF.
Yep, I don't know if you can hit KATD or, what is it, SD8, or no, what is the other one?
SCC it ends in. It's near Marine City area. K-8-SCC maybe it is. Yeah, there's two other ones. Those are 2 meter ones you could try to hit.
Well, when I know when I'm parked in front of the house and I'm sitting on the radio, I can hit the Avoca repeater, but I can't hit Yale, which is kind of funny.
That's interesting. I think we might
So what's the 300, the 147-300?
I believe that's KATC, the local one, but I'm not 100%.
Yeah, did they used to call that the Riley Center machine? I don't know, but that thing's always had a really, really good footprint.
I think that's the one. Right there off 19. I think I tried hitting it not too long ago, unless I got the wrong PL for it.
Hello, Don. What's shaking?
He disappeared. He was there, and now he's not. He's a magician.
You see that video online? I'm pretty sure it's legit. Girls interviewing a singer, performer. She says, so, you know, I wasn't aware that, you know, you did this or something, like, you know, fashion or something. I don't know what it was. It was unrelated. She goes, I thought you were just a musician. And she goes, I don't know what you're talking about. She goes, I'm not no musician. She goes, I don't do magic. And then she was like, no, I don't think you heard what I said. I said musician. He said, I heard what you said. I ain't no musician. I don't do magic. It was so funny. I don't know if you ever seen that.
No, but if you find it, send it to me. I gotta see that.
I will do that. Maybe Don's not answering because I didn't say Captain Don.
Oh, there you go. No, I was on UMP, and I don't think it was coming through. That's the KATD Avoca repeater, the 7.300.
The Avoca, that's a cruise, man.
Yeah, why? Were you reaching there or something? I kind of missed with it, so...
No, it's just, you know, most of the guys down this way on the east side have always known that repeater is quite workable if you have a, you know, just a modest home setup on VHF. The machine's always been very workable. You know, I'm down at 12 in the Quinter in Warren. I'm about 40 foot up with a, you know, typical dual bander, nothing crazy, not like an X500. I don't know what the gain on it is. The thing's been up there for decades. But, you know, and I can quite easily work it almost, you know, so it's just, that's pretty impressive, really.
Yeah, it's right when I sit in front of my house, I think I can hit Avoca. But I can't hit Yale, which is straight up M19, about 20 miles. So, I mean, I should be able to hit that. The funny thing is, too, is when I'm sitting out front, depending on the time of day or whatever, I can hit the Sarnia Tower on VHF.
Phone's blowing up. Let me see what that's all about. I'll be back. W8FU.
WS, WS.
Your area?
Yes, you're keying it every time it comes up.
Columbus or no? I think I lost Don too. Well, I'll be sitting here. KKKJO.
Okay, if I'm keyed up right now, TJ, what goes out? Do you lose CPCSS light, and do you see PTP come out on the same port?
No, I'm not. CPCSS stays on. COS comes on, but the port 2 PTP light does not come on, but the port 1 PTP light comes on for the repeater.
All right, key up one more time for me. I'm wondering if I need to switch the logic here.
All right, KCLTS testing. Yep, and then that when you're talking, I get, you know, the CTCSS stays on all the time for port 2. I get COS for port 2 when you're talking and PTT for port 1. When I'm talking, I got PTT on both port 1 and 2. COS on port 1, CTCSS on port 1, and port 2. But that one, port 2, stays on all the time.
All right. So when I'm keying, I'm sending a PTT signal out, which is triggering your COS on port 2. But I'm also getting back a CTCSS input, which is usually what I get when you're talking, which is then causing your load to send audio back, you know, so like it shows up, even though I'm transmitting, it shows you're transmitting too. All right, I got to see if there was a setting we had to do for that one thing, because you're going to the controller. But you're not seeing PTT light up at all, you said, so how am I, where am I getting that logic then?
Yeah, the port 2 PTT only lights up when I'm talking locally. So it doesn't look on this end like it's sending a PTT back.
Hmm, all right, where is that coming from?
The PA band just kicked on. I gotta turn the audio up a little bit too, because it's still pretty low. I'm only getting 1 point. I turned it up, I'm like right around 3.
Okay, because I've got the so you know, I've set the USB to go 5, like mid-level input-outputs for all of it. So if you need more level and you can't bring up your ports anymore, let me know.
Yeah, try that again, because I was turning it all the way up as port 2 transmit, and I'm not, it wasn't adjusting any higher.
Well, no, it'd be your port 2 receive, because you got to think I'm sending audio into your port 2 receiver, and if you're not seeing, you know, more audio coming out port 1, that would be why.
Yeah, it's maxed out right now.
Okay, you want me to turn, so I'll need to send you some more audio then. All right, let's see here. Oh, I think I gave you too much. Well, sorry. I think I turned on the boost and it sent more way audio than I should have gotten from you. All right, whatever you adjusted, you're clipping and sending me way too much audio.
All right, turn the transmit, which goes out to you down to about a quarter. Is that better?
Keep going. More.
All right, that's just barely off the bottom.
All right, I'm going to turn it down on the port here. All right, try now.
All right, there you go. According to the service monitor, it's 3.5 kilohertz of deviation here.
Try talking longer. Wow, I didn't get that much audio that time.
All right, like I said, I turned it all the way down to the bottom and then just bumped it up just a hair. So I can, you know, bring it up more if you need to be feeling the PA here, see how hot the PA is getting. It was at 105 watts. I turned it down to 95 in the program, and now it's putting about 97.5 out. So I'm wondering if I should turn that down some more, given how much activity these things get. If I turn it down to about 80 maybe, by the time it gets to the duplexer, I might be getting about 50 watts out. That'll probably be good.
Yeah, bump it up a hair more, and I turn it down.
Yeah, there's a hair more. Not quite to a quarter where you said it was too much yet.
Well, I think it's because the boost was on and it boosted it too much. If you want to go a quarter more, and then I'll turn down my gain a little bit more.
All right, that's about a quarter right there. And we'll see how that does.
All right, there we go. Yep, I'm going to save that. That was good right there. I got to figure out why every time the node keys, I'm getting a logic back from you. What the hell?
Yeah, I might go down for a minute here. I'm going to turn the power out down.
Can you unplug the USB dongle from the controller for a few seconds? I want to make sure something's not right.
Yep, unplugging it now.
All right, so is this dongle got a cable that we made between it, or is it the one that goes right into the controller with the USB port?
Right into the controller, and then USB cable to the Pi.
All right, because as soon as I send I ground what is called PTT out, which is going to your COS on the controller, your controller is sending me CTCSS back. So, like, it says it's keyed when I know it's not, and I don't know why. Why is it sending that? It shouldn't, unless there's a... wasn't there that, what was that thing in the RC210, that core active PL? Is that turned on maybe, that feature on port 2?
I don't think it was. Nothing, we didn't change anything, I didn't change anything physically on this stuff when I pulled it out. I didn't change anything. And the macros are all still set for the voice announcement. When I link this port, it says CMEN link active or whatever. So sounds like it. That's the port it was on before. Because I think the link radio, the VHF link radio that we had on there was on port 3, which there's nothing on that port right now.
Let me see here. Yep, as soon as I key this, let me see if you key it. Let me see what happens when you key again.
All right, give it another shot. I'm still putting out 83 watts. I put it at 80. I guess I'll put it at 75. Maybe that'll bring it down to like 78 or so.
All right. There. Okay, so now I'm keyed. You should be hearing me, and you're not seeing. There we go. Now I'm not getting signal back. I had to flip them. All right. Now when you key up, I should only see COS. Do you still see the CTCSS light on yours or no?
I let the timeout. I let the hanging time drop just to tell. And it stays on the whole time. It's still on.
Okay. Well, now that this should be exactly how we had it before. There we go. Audio levels won't because they're different. The new USB driver has a different audio level. But now when I'm sending audio to you, I am not getting a signal back, which is how it's supposed to be. All right. You sound clean.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for. So hopefully it works well. I'm throwing it in next week, so probably Monday or Tuesday.
All right, let me bring Sean back. He dropped while we were farting around, I guess. Sean!
FBI hub connected to UHF hub.
Sean!
He went inside. He's getting on his flip-flops.
All right. This will work. You can run what you need to, TJ. As soon as it boots up, it'll link. I'm going to work on a wise box for you. Maybe I'll give it to Sean Saturday. So, because he's supposed to help you next week. And we're done with that, but I wanted to talk to him, so that's why I came back. All right, WFSM.
All right, let's see what it's doing now. 78 watts. All right, that's probably good enough.
Well, yeah.
I mean, the perk is still sitting up there. One day we can fix that thing and put out 225 watts again.
Okay, Sean.
No, not Ho.
No, Sean's got a quarter kilowatt going right now, I thought on 2.6.
Well, all right then.
It was putting out so much power, it was crashing the RTCM next to it.
All right, then. Things getting pretty warm already. I mean, not warm enough I can't hold my hand on it, but, you know, warm to the touch.
Well, is the fan running on it?
Yeah, fan's running. Fan's working. It's a good fan test, at least.
I do need to ask, did you RC210 clock not set?
I'm sure it did, but the repeater didn't reboot in time for me to actually hear it. I saw the PTT light it went on when I reset the thing, but because it's powered off. The controller is powered off from the MTR, so when the MTR power cycles, the controller does too.
All right, well, we'll see when Sean comes back. Sean, if he's going breakfast Sunday or not, or Saturday or not, maybe I'll get a Wise box done and send that down. So, because you said we're getting rid of those pies. They're slow. But at least we know it's working.
Yeah, that's the main goal. And I'll be back there again, too.
All right, I'm going to finish my day job.
Funny, back working.
Oh, I unkeyed, or keyed on you. What was that?
All right, so the next project is to get the 220 back going again.
Well, you know, it is awful lonely over, well, those weirdos over there. And the different nets they have, they've finally been pretty decent about unhooking from them, but every once in a while it'll still be linked. It's like...
Oh, come on, Fred. You gotta have a little weird once in a while. Get out here.
Bunch of old farts spooning over some female
while
yelling
at that. TJ? You got the antenna fixed yet there, TJ?
It will be soon, like next week.
Well, I gotta come down and fix that too?
Right. Like, what else is new? But the PA is working. It's working right now. 70, I turned it down. It's only 78 watts now.
What else did I do? I got you a PA so you get off your asteroid and fix it.
Well, the next thing here is getting the Quantar rolling for a backup. Getting that up and working with a different setup.
Well, the next thing is to fix the antenna, mister.
It still radiates, just not very far. Nice buzz you got there, Jeff. Casey Delta. Yes.
You were smoking this, you'd have a buzz too.
WAPIJ, Waterford, Michigan.
I'm sorry, was there a station there? I had some kind of noise in the background. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're a little quiet yourself there. This is Tom, Tank Oscar Mike, Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar.
Okay, Mike, nice to meet you. Name is Greg, Golf Romeo Echo Golf, located in Waterford.
Oh, I talked to you yesterday, I think, with Rick. This is Tom, Tango Oscar Mike, Kujo, KCA KJO.
Hey, okay, Tom, all right. I have to turn the volume up on this for some reason. I don't know why, but I don't know. Other than that, you're making it full quieting.
Yeah, I'm on the Richmond repeater in Armada.
All right, so how's your day going, over?
My day is complete. I am on my way home to Memphis.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I just got this, had to reset the PL tones on this Motorola here, so they changed it a while ago, and I forgot to put the new one in, but I got it in. My programs, it's working.
I hear you just fine indeed.
Yeah, the same on this end. Okay, listen, I'm going to get going. I appreciate you coming back to me. At least I know I'm getting out there. And look forward to the next time. W-8-to-V-I-J.
V-I-J-73-K-A-C-H-A-G-O.
Sorry, I missed that. I had the volume down too low.
Okay, it's ATSD monitoring. This is KS8EDQ monitoring.
WNSF Mobile, Holly.